From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL, The Doctor Is In, a bi-weekly podcast addressing common and some not-so-common technical issues in amateur radio. This podcast is brought to you by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com. And now, here's your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and the Doctor himself, QST Contributing Editor Joel Hallis, W1ZR.
Hello, I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY.
And I'm Joel Hallis, W1ZR.
Joel, one of the problems that I hear about most often from QST readers is the issue of being able to put up an antenna in an area where perhaps your neighbors aren't particularly fond of your amateur radio activities, or you would just like to keep a low profile. So stealthy antennas are just all the rage these days, especially for people in condos and whatnot. This opens up a very large subject for both of us.
Indeed. Yeah, it is a problem, and there are people that are just, the people you described are people who it would be more convenient for them not to have visible antennas. There's another category of people who are not allowed to have antennas.
That's right.
In their lease or their purchase agreement or so forth. Now, I've actually been in the position of thinking about buying a place and rejecting it on that basis, but not everybody can do that. So I have the one caveat here is to be very careful not to risk your lease.
Yes.
With this. I mean, there's things you can get away with, and if your neighbor sees it and they say, oh, too bad, okay, I'll take it down. But if you're in violation of your lease and the apartment is, or whatever kind of thing it is in high demand, your landlord might just say, well, let's get rid of this guy and his antennas and his dogs and be done
with troublesome ham.
Yes, exactly. So just keep that in mind. It's not worth losing your happy home in the process. But in terms of stealthy antennas, I kind of divide it up into three choices of general strategies. The first is to use a regular antenna where it can't be seen. And there are a lot of, we'll talk about each of these. The next is to make a visible antenna that looks like something else. So even though it's an antenna, it doesn't look like an antenna. Now that's where you can get in trouble with your lease if you're not allowed to have antennas. If somebody figures it out and they say, why does that lawn ornament have a wire going out the bottom, or you know, that kind of thing. And the other thing you can do, and this is may or may not be an issue with your lease, is to use an antenna that can be removed when it's not in use. So if you just put it in place on your patio or someplace while you're operating and then take it down when you're not, most people will not have a problem with that. So in terms of using a regular antenna where it can't be seen, that comes down to a couple of things. Attic antennas are one. Living space antennas, people put antennas in their living room, and wires and loops that are in trees or a very thin wire that can't be seen, so forth. Antennas inside dwellings can be very stealthy. Some have even used rotatable VHF Yagis in their attic, including my colleague Steve Ford here has been known to do that and had good luck with that.
And I even managed to work satellites from within the attic with a rotating stealthy antenna. Really?
That's very feasible. And it can work. It probably works better if you actually get the satellite to be in the attic with you, but it can work.
I'll tell you what was a pain was in the winter when I had snow and ice on the roof. I couldn't get to the satellite on 70 centimeters.
Ah.
Yeah, way too much attenuation.
So you had to go climb up on the roof and shovel.
Knock the snow off, and then I was fine, yes.
Yep. Yeah, well, that can be a project, too. Of course, that's only a problem in some parts of the country.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So that's one thing you can do. And a lot of people use regular HF dipoles in attics. That can work well, too. A lot of people are not aware that dipoles can be bent and work well. So typically, if you go along the inside of the peak of the roof and get to the end of the peak and it's not, you know, quite wide enough to support the antenna, you can run one side down along the roof line on one, going one way and the other side down the roof line going the other way or something. So you can get a lot more space there than you might think. The dimensions will be slightly different, but trim for best SWR and you'll be good. The general problem that you have to be aware of is you're much more susceptible to receiving interference from your neighbor's plasma TV or washing machine controllers and furnace controllers now put out a lot of RFI. And, of course, if you're not supposed to have an antenna, you can't exactly go around and say, would you mind turning your furnace off while I'm operating? I mean, you're not going to get very far with that. So having them outside, if you can, is always a benefit. Another issue with inside antennas is you're typically very close to where people are. And that brings up the RF safety issue, which can be very serious. So even though the attic may be far away from where people in your dwelling unit are, it may be much closer to somebody else's, and you have to be particularly concerned about this, especially if you have kids playing near where antennas are. Very carefully calculate the RF levels and make sure they're well within the guidelines for people that are not part of the station environment, which are more restrictive than the other ones. The other thing that can be tough about antennas in buildings and having wire loops around windows and so forth, which can work, is it's very difficult to know exactly where all the conductors are in the walls. Mm. So perhaps you have had an opportunity to look at that if you were there while the building was being built. But in general, any copper pipes or wiring or anything else in the walls is likely to interfere with the antenna pattern, possibly cause attenuation, and also provide a path for RF interference in either direction. And nowadays, I've watched some buildings go up recently, and it seems like the steel studs are much more popular than...
Yes, they are.
2x4s that we're used to using in the old days. Of course, that just kind of makes a shield. And
yeah,
if you're inside
like
the shield.
Like a Faraday cage almost.
Yeah. If you're inside the shield, you can only talk to other people in the building. Pretty much. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yes.
So you have to be aware of that. Another thing you can do outside the building, if you don't have room for a big antenna outside, perhaps you can make a shortened antenna, either by loading it with coils or... bending it around and so forth. There are a number of things you can do. They work well, and in fact, they work almost as well as full-size antennas, except for a couple things. One, the bandwidth tends to be narrower. So if you make it half the size of the full-size half-wave dipole, the bandwidth can be significantly less. I don't have a number in front of me, but I could easily imagine 30 or 40% less bandwidth. The impedance goes down also, which tends to make them less efficient and provides less of a match to the coax. But otherwise, they can work very well. You know, if you can have wire that's the same color as the siding on the dwelling and you can stretch it between two windows on the outside of the house, you may be a lot better off than doing it on the inside. Of course, you'll still be coupling to these same things in the walls. But what's really best is if you can go from an outside window to some tree and get most of the antenna away from the building, it works a lot better.
What about the idea of supposedly loading up the gutters? Does that really work?
Yeah, that comes up in the next category, which I was going to talk about, which is make a visible antenna that looks like something else. And one of them would be a gutter. People have successfully used aluminum or copper gutters as antennas. Now, there's some caveats there. First of all, to be a good antenna, it has to be a solid conductor, at least the part that you're using as an antenna. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the way gutters are put together, they're typically downspouts are pushed into fittings, connect up to the gutter. Sections of gutters, even so-called seamless gutters, tend to be broken into segments of a finite length. And the way that they're connected together can make a connection that's sometimes a connection and sometimes it's not. Now, that's fairly easy to fix if you're willing to go up and take sheet metal screws and make sure the connections are well made. Or, alternately, if you don't want the downspout to be part of your antenna, make sure it's well insulated by putting in a section of plastic pipe or something in between. So you can deal with that. They absolutely can be used. The trick is to feed it. If you want to have a center-fed antenna out of a gutter, well, you've got to cut the gutter in the middle and put an insulator there to do that, or perhaps a T-match for a single band if you can make that come out right.
Well, your landlord may have something to say about
that. Well, there's that. Yeah, yes. That's another issue. But this may not be very easy to be stealthy about, although if you use the downspout in the gutter as kind of an inverted L and you feed it from the bottom of the downspout, it might not be noticeable. Again, you have to make sure the downspout and the gutter are well connected. Otherwise, you will have an intermittent connection, and that can, even if it's almost a connection, it actually can become a semiconductor and generate harmonics and all kinds
lovely.
Of strange things. And you get a dramatic shift in SWR while you're operating, and that can shut you down. Your radio.
What about when it rains and the gutters fill with water and rotting leaves?
That's as much of a problem. But what can be a problem is the gutters are typically attached to the wood siding of the house with screws. Now, let's see, sometimes the wood siding of the house is wet, and sometimes it's not, and sometimes you have a connection through that, and sometimes you don't. So, none of these antennas are ideal, but you can't always have perfection, and you can get a signal on the air using a gutter, no question about it. You can use a flagpole. A lot of people, there have been a number of articles in QSTs about using a flagpole, another kind of thing that looks like something else but can work as an antenna. Again, it's tricky to not be obvious about it, because usually you have to have an antenna tuner there, so you can put a vault underneath it and so forth, but you got to work at night, and you got to make sure nobody trips over your radio wires and things like that.
Yes.
And bury your coax. And it also helps if you have access to the building at a convenient point to get to a cable to the antenna without being seen. So, you know, that this works well in your own house in a neighborhood with restrictions. Even if it doesn't have restrictions, you just don't want it to look like you have a ham antenna.
Your spouse may be a restriction. My spouse does not like antennas. She really doesn't.
Well, you have to be very careful in this life. You have to pick your real estate carefully, and it's also good to pick your spouse carefully.
Yes.
And there's a lot of criteria you might not think of when you first get into that, and we probably don't want to go too far in that direction.
No.
Fortunately, my spouse is pretty understanding, although she has not been up for a tower. But then again, my town is not up for a tower either. So I've been getting away with a stealthy Yagi. It's hard to see, and it works well, or well enough.
Let's take a break. We'll be back in 60 seconds right after a word from our sponsor, DX Engineering.
Remember your first contact? The excitement of that first CQ? The exhilaration of making your first QSO? At DX Engineering, we know that feeling too. That's why we've committed to making your on-air experience the very best it can be. DX Engineering ships quickly, which means less station downtime. And we have free shipping for almost any order over $99. We've recently expanded our inventory, so you don't have to wait for the gear you need. DX Engineering has introduced all new radio products and revived legendary brands, all with the goal of helping you enjoy amateur radio. Most importantly, the DX Engineering team is here to help you. You've got a team of highly experienced hams ready to work out technical issues, answer questions, and help you optimize your station performance. That excitement you felt from the first contact, it can happen again and again with help from DX Engineering. DXEngineering.com. That's DXEngineering.com.
And we're back. Now, if you have a tree on your property, could you take a single wire, insulated wire, and run it up the trunk and basically have a stealthy vertical that way?
Absolutely. I have one. I don't have it because I have to have it stealthy, but I have it because I had the tree there, and that was the only way I was going to make an 80-meter ground plane. And in my case, I have elevated radials going off through my woods, capturing deer and stuff. And so it's not terribly stealthy, but if I had radials on the ground or under the ground, it would be pretty stealthy, and it works quite well.
How much wire do you have going up in the tree?
I have about 65 feet. Actually, I have two wires. I have a double wire, which makes it less lossy and a little wider bandwidth. So it's kind of acts like a wide piece of pipe or something.
Does the wire have to be insulated?
No, I don't think so. I think the tree.
It's going to be right up against the bark of the tree. That's what made me think.
Well, it's hung by a halyard, so it's not being pulled into the tree, but it is touching the tree in places. But, of course, the tree is not a very good conductor. Now, if it's wet, it is. But, yeah, I haven't had a problem. I do use insulated wire. It's less visible, too, by the way.
Yes.
Black insulated wire is much less visible than bright, shiny copper wire, which is very visible.
Well, that's something else in the stealthy discussion. What about, and again, I'm thinking right now of verticals, but painting antennas to sort of camouflage them into the environment?
Absolutely. That is a very good idea. And either that or getting old antennas. Instead of buying new antennas that are shiny, buy old antennas that are dull.
That's yes.
A number of benefits of that, including old antennas tend to be quite cheap. They also can be kind of defective, but
yes.
That's another problem. But I think a flat gray paint, or if you have a background, if yours is up against trees from somebody out on the street looking towards it, painting, making it, go to look at a World War II movie of a Spitfire on a landing field and kind of use the colors that it uses and make sure they're dull, not shiny. So you could, even taking this aluminum color and spraying it with flat gray paint makes a big difference because it won't be reflective.
Is there any type of paint you shouldn't use or any precautions?
The one thing I would do is I would mask any areas of insulators around traps and things that are in the antenna so that you don't have any conductive paths. I think most paint is not conductive, but why take a chance? Because it's not usually very much of an area.
No.
Another thing I've seen used is flower hangers.
Flower hangers?
Yeah. Well, this actually comes under the category of antennas that can be removed. But there are a couple of HF antennas, one by Transworld and the other by Force 12, that are actually center-fed vertical dipoles with a horizontal end loading that are, I don't know, typically I'm guessing 10 feet high and 4 feet wide. If you had one on your patio, it would not look like an antenna. I don't know what it would look like. Somebody would look at it and say, gee, I wonder what that is.
But, modern art sculpture, yes.
But what you could do on the horizontal loading elements on the top, I would think, is get some hanging flower pots and put them on there. And then people wouldn't say, what is that? They'd say, oh, that's an unusually looking flower pot hanger.
And what's going to happen to the flowers when you transmit?
Well, my guess would be what you'd do is you'd remove them,
remove them
temporarily. And you could say, oh, I just took them down to water or something. But there are a lot of other things you can do that don't look like antennas. Lawn adornments, statues and things.
Like gnomes?
Well, I have not tried gnomes, but what I was thinking about was there was an article by Christian Pawn, WV6N, in QST of November 2011 called An Antenna Idea for Antenna-Restricted Communities. And he made a two-turn loop antenna, rotatable loop antenna, out of copper pipe. And when he was done, he thought it looked like a lawn adornment. And I guess beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, yes. I saw that.
But as a vertical antenna, it could be fairly close to the ground without having a problem. And he had it rotated so he could use it directionally. And he had very good results with that. Somebody walking by might say, what the heck is that? But they wouldn't say, why is that antenna in your yard? I'm guessing.
One would hope, yes.
Yeah. There are things like that. Vent pipe antennas. A number of people, some people even make them. If you have this, of course, won't work in an apartment where the landlord owns the roof. But there are 2-meter antennas out there that look like a vent pipe extension. They just drop over your vent pipe.
Yeah, those have been around for years. Yeah.
And even TV antennas can be converted to VHF use fairly easily. They require a little matching network or something somewhere. But those are all things that you can do with antennas that don't look like ham antennas.
Now, something you and I discussed in a previous podcast, although briefly, was an antenna that you described in The Doctor Is In from a while back that used a wire along a wooden fence. You remember that?
I do.
A privacy fence.
Yep.
And if I'm recalling correctly, one wire ran along the top of the fence.
Yep.
And it even made a turn, so it was sort of an L-shaped wire. And then another wire, which functioned as the counterpoise, ran along the ground at the bottom of the fence.
Yep.
And then there was an antenna tuner to match it. And could you describe what that was?
That worked reasonably well. Well, I say reasonably well. It worked about as well as a HF mobile antenna, let's say. This was for 75 or 80 meters, and it was actually resonant on that band if you make the lengths right. The actual antenna itself is the vertical portion, which may be 5 or 6 feet high or long, which runs from where the counterpoise is, and the coax cable goes with the shield to the counterpoise at that point, the center conductor to the bottom of this 5 or 6 foot wire that goes vertically. And then the wire continues horizontally along the fence. And it can either be, depending on where you want the middle to be, it can either be a T configuration or an L configuration. Mm-hmm. And depending on how long you can make it resonant on 80 or 40 meters and or 20 meters or whatever band you want. And it'll work about like a mobile antenna, which can work quite well.
Does the counterpoise wire have to be directly beneath the top wire along its entire length?
I don't think so, but that's the way the fence has got to be there, so there's no reason not to do that, and that's the way I modeled it, and that worked. Now, if you're going to change something, then we have to go back and say, well, what does that do to the tuning of it or something? But I'm sure it would work, and probably about as well.
What if you had a remote antenna tuner? Could you place that at the feed point of this antenna and get multiband?
Absolutely. Again, you'd have to look at the impedance on each band and the range of tuning that the antenna tuner can handle, and that should tell you the story.
And it would work just about as well as an HF mobile antenna, and your neighbors would never see it.
That's true. Yeah.
Yes, that would be excellent. Many QSTs ago, I set up a delta loop antenna where the bottom of the delta loop, the bottom of the triangle, if you will, was along a privacy fence in my backyard. And then the loop, the apex of the loop, was anchored in a tree. And the entire effect was it was extremely stealthy. And I had a remote antenna tuner right there in that base leg to tune the whole thing for several bands. And it worked remarkably well.
Yeah. You know, it really doesn't take much to have a good antenna. You know, there's a difference between a good antenna and a great antenna.
Yes.
I noticed that last night. One of the reasons my voice isn't working is I mentioned I was trying to work Central Kiribati on 20 sideband last night, shouting into the microphone, and for that reason I can't talk as well as I sometimes might. And my three-element Yagi at 30 feet is a good antenna, but it's not a great antenna, and I was up against people with 1,500 watts and 75-foot towers. I shouted until I thought I was not going to have enough voice left for today, which may have been a good thought, and had I had it earlier, and didn't get through. And I was thinking, well, you know, usually I can get through, but, you know, it's always a question of somebody else having more signal.
I mean, we're not saying here that a stealthy antenna is going to give you, you know, a high position on the DXCC honor roll or allow you to break pileups on the other side of the world. But if your goal is to simply enjoy amateur radio and make contacts, it can be done
Absolutely.
With rain gutters, verticals in trees,
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Yep. Yeah, I just brought in my 100th card for 80 meters for my 5-band DXCC. That was my last band. I actually have one more I have to do because one of my countries is deleted, so I have to get 101 total. But, but you know, I do that with that wire going up the back of that tree.
Up the back of the tree. And could you, I mean, I'm thinking mechanically here more than electrical. What about a vertical antenna that you want to hide? Can it sort of be, let's say you had a pine tree, something like that. Can you put a vertical antenna physically sort of inside a tree, if what I'm saying makes sense here?
It does make sense. And yes, you can if you can figure out how to do it. The trick is, what I usually do with antennas is I use a rope halyard. And by the way, that's another thing you have to be careful about. White rope against trees is very visible.
Yes.
Black rope, which is often sold, especially as antenna halyards, this yacht braid type two-part rope with a black outer cover works very well as a stealthy halyard against trees. And I use black insulated wire on the other side of the tree. So the trick is to get the halyard up tight against the tree and have the wire come down tight against the tree. Of course, so what you do is you get the halyard up and bring it around and bring it down. Now, how you do that? One way to do it, of course, is to hire a tree guy in a truck.
Yeah.
Because if you're up at the top of the tree, it's not that hard to snake something down.
Including even a pipe. I mean, a vertical metal antenna, yes.
And I've actually known people that had mastered the art of fly casting, so they could use a lead sinker. And by putting enough drag on it, just after it went over the top, it would slow its forward motion, and the weight of the sinker would bring it down against the trunk. The other side of the tree where the halyard would show is a little more tough because you can't throw it up that way. But I think a tree guy could do it. You know, if you have some tree work done, have them put in a couple of good connection points for pulleys, and you can do a good job with that.
What about the thinking about the mechanics of it? Let's say that I could somehow embed a vertical antenna in a tree. What about on windy days when the branches are blowing back and forth? I mean, is that going to be a problem?
No, it's not, because if the antenna's against the tree, it'll move with the tree. That's more of a problem if you have a dipole antenna between trees and the trees move at different times. You can end up with a lot of stress on the antenna. And speaking of dipoles, I mean, there are a number of regular antennas like dipoles that can be put up where they aren't too visible. Dipoles or inverted Vs hung from eaves outside your house, you know, from the peak of the roof down both right along the shingles.
That'd be hard to see.
Inverted
Yeah.
If you either paint the insulation or get insulation that matches the shingles and put it right up against the shingles.
Yes.
That can work. And there also, people used to use what we used to call invisible antennas. What that was antennas made from very thin wire. Typically, you get an old audio transformer, and it has amazingly thin wire in there on the primary. You may get hundreds and hundreds of feet of very thin wire that can't be seen very well. And
yes.
You can make up an antenna, put it between trees, and nobody will notice it. You have to worry about birds flying into it or trying to land on it. But the nice thing is you have hundreds of feet for free, and if it breaks, you just put up some more. Just make sure you do your halyards in such a way that you can, if the wire breaks, you don't have to reposition the halyards. So you have the halyards go all the way around the tree, if that makes sense.
Does that wire break easily? I assume it does.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so you may have to reconnect your antenna on a number of occasions after a windy day or, as you say, a bird flying into it.
Yeah, I don't think that really. I think birds are smarter than that. But
boy, I would hope so.
Plan to have enough extra to do that.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Joel.
My pleasure.
ARRL, The Doctor Is In, is brought to you by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at www.arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment for the doctor, send an email to doctor@arrl.org. Background music is courtesy of Ben Sound at www.bensound.com. This program is provided under the copyright of the ARRL. Until next time, I'm QST Managing Editor Becky Schoenfeld, W1BXY 73, and thanks for listening.